Every word of worship, with one accord. your hands and praise him now. He's worthy of the praise. I don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
Every praise. Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. Thanks for joining us here at Trinity this morning. Just want to make sure we get your attention. It is good to be in this place together. It is something special when we gather together to worship. I trust that this is the beginning of a new week of worship for you. We have much to celebrate and much to worship our God for and to be thankful. And as we embark on a new year together, as you know, I've been away the last couple weeks, so it is very good to be back and to see all of you. I'll share a little bit about what we've experienced the last couple of weeks, but it's good to be in this place to worship, and it's what we've been created for. And this morning, in our message in a few minutes, we'll be talking about what our theme will be for this year. We always like to have a theme for our year, sort of a verse that is sort of a thread throughout our year together of ministry and of worship and of service. And so we'll do that in just a moment. But you know, whatever the weather is, whether it's 85 and sunny on the beach in Hawaii, or it's coming back to beautiful Newark, New Jersey, and snow and all of that, God is good. And most of all, we're thankful for Jesus and new life that we have in Him. As our way into worshiping God together through song, I would like to read from Psalm 99. I'll read the psalm in its entirety. This will be our call to worship. And it's important that we take a moment or two to set our minds right, to set our hearts right. We come and gather in this place having had very different experiences throughout the week and even this morning. But we gather for one common purpose, and that is to worship our Lord and to seek after Him. So let's hear what He has to say this morning from Psalm 99, a psalm that reminds us of our holy and perfect God. And then we'll stand and sing songs of praise together. Psalm 99. The Lord reigns, and let the peoples tremble. He is enthroned above the cherubim, and let the earth shake. The Lord is great in Zion, and He is exalted above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is He. The strength of the king loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His footstool. Holy is He. Moses and Aaron were among His priests, and Samuel was among those who called on His name. They called upon the Lord, and He answered them. He spoke to them in the pillar of cloud. They kept His testimonies and the statute that He gave them. O Lord our God, You answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, and yet an avenger of their evil deeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill, for holy is the Lord our God. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Let us pray into worship this morning. Father, this time is for You. God, we have gathered to encourage each other and to fellowship. Yes, Lord, but we have gathered here to praise the name of Jesus, to exalt Your name in this place, to lift up holy hands, to join our voices and hearts as one, saying thank You by singing songs of praise and by hearing from Your very Word. Thank You, Father God, for Your presence here with us. We consider it a privilege. It is an honor among honors to be able to be in Your presence and to praise You. And in doing so, we say thank You. We say thank You, Father God, for being who You are, a holy and righteous and just God. And we say thank You for what you have done for us. All that you have done, all that you will do in our new year together. But we thank you most of all, Father, for that greatest gift you have ever offered, and that is your Son, Jesus. We thank you for new life in him, for salvation in him, and so we praise his holy name now together so that you would get all the glory, and we do so by the leading and power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Church, let us worship the Lord together.
darkness, we were waiting without hope, without light. Till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word. From a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt.
Free. Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you.
Amen. Our God is worthy. Amen.
Yes.
Father, we thank you for, yes, you alone are worthy. We sing these songs of praise because you are good and you are gracious. And Father God, you alone are worthy.
Yes.
We thank you, God, that we can sing songs of praise to you because you are holy and righteous. But yet, God, we can proclaim these truths that our battles, they're your battles. They belong to you, God. You go before us. You win every battle, God. May we follow you every step of the way and declare that victory in you, Father God. And we do so all because of Jesus. So that's why we worship and pray in his name. Amen and amen. Church, take a moment to say good morning to somebody next to you.
To guide me each day, though some may oppose me, I won't be ashamed. Whatever I face, Lord, it won't be in vain. I will trust in Christ every step I take.
All right, if we can find our way back to our seats. No running in church. There's no running. Don't worry. You have time. You praise the Lord. It's good to see such great fellowship, especially after a powerful time of worship. Amen. And it's good when you feel so pumped up, you want to just continue to worship the Lord. But it's a good reminder, too, that, you know, there's many ways to worship God. And we love to worship God through song, through music, and praising Him. But we worship the Lord by gathering in fellowship, by, of course, reading His Word, by spending time in prayer. It's the way that we bring worship to God, which is simply just our response to God's goodness. His goodness in His nature, in His goodness in His gifts to us, most importantly, His Son Jesus. And so before we dive into God's Word this morning, and just a few things, what we call church life, just to kind of get caught up in what's going on in the life of the church here at Trinity. I had to be reminded myself because I've been away for a couple of weeks. And so I just wanted to make sure it was going on. So I checked the website. I said, oh, yeah, we got a lot going on. It's good. I should mention some of that. And but anyway, thanks for the prayers and just for the well wishes and the prayers while myself and my wife Claudia were away. As most of you know, can you bring my volume down just a little bit? Sorry, just not used to being that loud. I appreciate it. But my daughter, my eldest daughter, Lauren, and her husband, Ben, they've lived in Hawaii on the island of Maui for a few years, been about 3 years, and they work with the Maui Rescue Mission. It's similar to work that they had been doing here in New York City, but they work with the unhoused population in Maui, around the whole island. And the mission they work with is pretty unique, and they offer shower and laundry services, so they have a mobile unit that they bring around to different locations, whereas the homeless communities are on the island, and provide a much-needed service. But of course, they get the opportunity to share the gospel and to hear people's stories and to talk to them and to love on them and encourage them in the Lord, of course. And we got to serve with them in the past, and we had my son there and his girlfriend and family there, and we got to just see them serving, and it was just a beautiful reminder that there are people in need all over, right? And we think of a place like Hawaii as paradise, and it is, but it's not paradise for everybody, you know? They at least don't see it the way that we might, and so we had the great, you know, privilege of just being able to go and enjoy some more time, sort of our last trip there, because Lauren and Ben are moving back, and most of you know that. That's kind of why we went one last time, to sort of help them start packing up and getting things ready. And as you can imagine, a move from a place like Hawaii is quite unique. You don't rent a truck and pack it up and go, right? And so most of the stuff you sell or you donate, because most of the stuff they have, they bought on island, you know, and so it's a big process of figuring out what few things they can bring back, and so we had a wonderful time with family, but encouraging them, and it'll be good to see them in a couple of weeks. So on January 30th, they're flying back to begin a new season in their lives. So again, thank you for all the prayers, but I have to say it is very good to be back, even though I'd prefer the sun and warmth of Hawaii, and looking at my phone, seeing the frigid weather and the storm and all that coming back. But it truly is so special to be able to worship with your church family, isn't it? And we got to visit my kids' church there, which we've been to before, and a wonderful church. We got to worship with them, but it's there's nothing like worshiping with the people that you know and that you fellowship with, and so I praise God for that and for being back. Claudia is actually on her way back. She had to stay a few extra days. She said it was work related, and I trust her. You know, I trust her. So, but she's actually on her way back now, and her flight got delayed. She's in Atlanta right now, flying up to Newark, and so hopefully the storm won't interfere. But she is about to get on a plane, so hopefully we'll see her a little bit later. Just want to remind all of you, too, these announcements are always found on our website, trinityallenwood.com. It's a great resource just to find all about Trinity, what we're about, what we believe. There's a great detail there about our faith convictions and theological convictions, and of course, the gospel is there on our website, and so much information about how to get involved, how it is that we love to gather, and how we learn and grow and serve. It's how we pursue discipleship, of course, our core values. But just some reminders, make sure that if you're interested in being one of our prayer warriors, that you sign up for our prayer email. You can find the information on our website about just sending an email, and you'll get connected to the list, and you can get those prayer requests and send prayer requests, of course, and get all of the updates as the Lord answers prayers. But that's a great way to stay connected. And also, just make sure you sign up for our text updates. It's the most efficient way of finding out what's going on at Trinity, especially if you have to make last-minute announcements or there's something that has to be changed or just reminders. You can send a text to get signed up for that, and all of those details are on our website as well. If you are new here to Trinity, if you're joining us for the first time, we say a special welcome, or if it's been a few weeks and you have not yet filled out one of our connection cards, there should be some in the seat backs in front of you. If not, we have a connection center on the way out in the lobby. Just take one of those connection cards, and we'd love to just get some of your basic info, at least your email or your phone number. We can sign you up for text and just reach out to you to welcome you in a special way. So we'd love to stay connected with you. We also have notebooks available if you one of those that likes to take notes, either in your Bible or in a notebook for our sermon series, and you can go ahead and take one of those. Those are also available on our Connection Center. Remember, too, that we just recently began our new season of Dig Deeper. That's the Sunday morning group where we study Scripture and go deeper. And of course, our Tuesday studies, the early morning men's and women's studies, and then the evening men's studies kicked in again recently. Our Trinity kids have a lot planned for this year, for 2025. And so we praise the Lord for all of our kids. And actually, they're already starting to plan for their Easter presentation. So we praise God for that. That is in the works. And some outings and some opportunities for the kids to get together and fellowship. And so we look forward to what God's going to do for our Trinity Kids ministry this year. Remember, too, that I believe it's next Sunday is our outreach in Delaware. Is that right? And so next Sunday, the 26th. And so you didn't have to register for that, but if you're interested, we're leaving right after church next Sunday and heading down to Delaware. It's something we've done for the last few years, and we get to serve our friends in the homeless community down there in Delaware, and I believe it's right outside of Wilmington. We'll be bringing coats and to meet an immediate need, but hopefully we get to also hear some stories, share our story, and get to talk about the Lord Jesus and share the hope that we have in Him. And so it's a really unique opportunity. But because of the distance, we leave right after church on Sunday, so you bring your lunch. We eat on the way down and get to just debrief and fellowship on the way back. So that is next Sunday after service. In 2 weeks, on February 2nd, we will have, of course, our fellowship lunch and our communion Sunday. That's always on the first Sunday of the month. But we'll also have baptisms that day. And so in a couple of weeks, we'll have baptisms. And so if you're interested, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you have not yet been baptized, I give you that opportunity. Come and talk to me, and we'll sit down and talk and chat for a bit about what baptism looks like. What does the Scripture say about it? Why do we believe it's important? And why did Jesus command us to be baptized? And what does that look like in the life of a believer? But this could be an opportunity for you. So that is on February 2nd, in 2 weeks, that we will have baptisms that morning and then get to celebrate afterwards with our communal meal. And so praise the Lord for that. So if that's something you've been praying about and perhaps something you even put on your list for this year, 2025, to look into, please talk to me before then. Perhaps that will be an opportunity for you to be baptized as well. We have our annual business meeting coming up in February on the 16th. You'll hear more about that. You'll get all the information. We put together a packet of info. Everybody is welcome to that. Our members vote on the budget and among other things that we vote on for the new year that we propose. And so you'll hear more about it and see some information, but that's coming up on Sunday, the 16th of February. So you want to mark that on your calendar. And again, all this will be on the website. And finally, we do have communion today. We put it off a couple of weeks, but we will have communion today. And we normally do it once a month, but the Lord says to do this as often as you gather together. Amen. And so we will conclude our worship service by gathering around the Lord's table to remember his sacrifice on our behalf. And so now what I wanted to do is I wanted to invite a few people up as we, what we do is we call this extending the right hand of fellowship as we welcome some new official members to the body of believers here at Trinity. And so I'd love to invite Kimberly, Neil, and Jeff. Rhea, if you would come up, praise the Lord. And yep, and of course, and Rob and Dawn Pratt, if you guys would come up, and we praise the Lord. You guys can come up, stand over here, yeah, thank you. Come on up. Up to the blue stage, praise the Lord, yeah. And so, you know, there are some unique opportunities in sort of the life and movement of a church and its ministries. And one of those that is very important is membership. And membership really is, it's a covenant. Here, you guys can come a little closer. I don't want you to. It's a covenant. It's a way of saying, to the greater community here at Trinity that we are committed to learning and growing and serving together. And of course, you don't have to be an official member to have that commitment, but it's a step of saying, yes, I'd like to be involved perhaps in a way that that we can't as if you're not a member. And so as members, it really shows this idea that we have planted our roots here, and we are desiring to find out more about how we can get more involved here at Trinity, be a more a part of what God is doing, helping to cast vision, be in leadership, and to see what God has in store. And as these four have desired to do that and to use their spiritual gifts to bless all of you, we simply bring them up to recognize them, so now you all know who they are, right? And so Kimberly and Jeffrey Neal, and of course Dawn and Rob Pratt, and most of you perhaps know them, have gotten to know them, and which is wonderful. And of course it takes some time to sort of plant yourselves and begin planting those roots before you would consider becoming a member. But it is a very special thing in the life of a believer to become a member of a church. And we recognize that it is all about community. But it's a covenant community, saying that yes, that these four are willing to make that commitment and to say this is our church home that we want to continue to invest in deeper and different ways. Amen. But we bring them up not only so that you can recognize them and see their beautiful faces, but that also so that afterwards you can encourage them and welcome them, but now even that we would be able to pray for them. But before we pray over them, so I'm going to, in a moment, I'll ask you to stand and I will pray over them, but we want to pray over them together as a church as we welcome them into membership. I want to give them the opportunity to share. And so would any of you like to share a word or two just about your time here and your commitment into covenant community as a member? Anybody want to share anything? And you don't have to. Would you like to? Yes, perfect. There you go.
So I was voluntold. I was Thursday, I got to go and be a part of the outreach in Toms River. It was a wonderful opportunity to have lunch, serve lunch, and then sit and fellowship with some of the unhoused in the community and to learn more, because as y'all know, I'm not just new to our congregation. Jeffrey and I are new to New Jersey, and every state has different localities and different programs, and so it was a great opportunity to see the multitude of ways that people can receive care and services in addition to, you know, what our church family is able to do. As mentioned before, one of the things that drew me to our congregation is the fact that we are actively doing the hands and feet of the Lord, and there are multiple ways that we're able to minister, and we know the way, you know, how to get involved. I didn't have to be a member to go to Tom's River. I just had to approach Andrew and say, hey, I want to go. He gave me the address, told me the time, and I was there. I didn't have to do anything but show up. So it's as easy as showing up. And the fact that the church has funds and missions to do right here, it's not just overseas. Right here, we're making an impact for the name of Jesus Christ. And we don't even have to, you know, it's not us trying to force people to believe the way that we believe. We just want to meet their physical needs as well. And so it's just been a blessing to be a part of a congregation that finds that important.
Amen. 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 Thank you.
I just want to say how thankful I am for this church and this pastor and this congregation, because this is home for us, and we are so grateful for that.
Mm. Amen. Amen. Church, would you stand, please, as we pray over these four and ask God's blessing on them as they join us in membership and engage in this covenant of our faith community here. We want to cover them in prayer and continue to pray for them as they learn and grow and serve along with us. Amen. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for each one here. I thank you for our brother, Rob. I thank you for bringing him to us, for the giftings that you have bestowed upon him, for the way, God, you have already begun to use him in significant ways, and the way he has shown his heart and his love for this church and, of course, for you. Father, thank you for him. Thank you for Dawn. Lord God, thank you for the way that she has just plugged right in, gotten involved, the way that she just so desires to learn and to grow and to serve along with us. We thank you, Father God, that she is with us and part of our church family. We thank you, Father God, for Kimberly. We thank you that you have, in your sovereignty, brought her all the way from Texas, Lord God, to our church family, and that she would be willing to step right in, to jump right in, and to serve, to be the hands and feet, Lord God, that you call us to be. We thank you for her heart and her desire to represent you. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing her here to us. And we thank you, Father God, for Jeffrey and, Lord, his willingness, even on day one, to serve, to be a part of our audiovisual team, Lord God, just such an important ministry. We thank you, God, that already you are using him and his giftings and his talents. We thank you, Father, for these four. And we just ask right now, God, that you would bless them. Lord, that you would bless them in their homes, in their place of business, that you would bless them here at Trinity, Lord God, not only in their communities, but here as they join in membership with us, Lord God, and take that that next step. Lord God, use them to be a blessing to us, Father God, as they live out their faith among us. God, may we encourage them and challenge them to continue to do that. But Father God, we just simply say thank you, and we ask your blessing on these four, and we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, brother. Praise you. Thank you. Oh, it's okay. I'm glad Kimberly also got to share a little bit about the outreach on Thursday. And what a great opportunity. You know, there's many people that went on a Thursday afternoon down to Toms River to help serve those that were in need, and what a great opportunity. You know, our missions team is always active, and we look forward to a great new year, and they're always finding ways to kind of keep missions before us and to create opportunities for us to get outside of these four walls and to go serve. And, you know, we support missions locally and globally, and we have our missions map out in the lobby, and it lists some of our missionaries and where they are around the world. But of course, we have opportunities to physically go locally to places like Toms River, or even next week down to Delaware a little bit further out. But as God calls us, we want to go and to follow, don't we? We want to be willing to see what it is that He has for us and to follow His call, because, you know, we try as hard as we like, we can never really get ahead of God, can we? And we may try, but yet we really want to be following God and getting on board with what He is already doing. And that includes all three of our core values: learning and growing and serving, all three of those things that we desire to do together. What I'd like to do is ask you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 2, verse 10. As you know, we have been for many months now going through the book of Matthew as our study. We like to go through books of the Bible, but we took a break for December during the Advent season. And then, of course, being away for a couple of weeks, we had the great privilege of hearing from one of our missionaries, Scott Schwartz, of course, our elder, Bruce Neary. So grateful for them that they were willing to share the word with you. I trust that you are blessed. And so it's been a while since we've been in Matthew, but we'll have to wait one more week. And so next Sunday, we will be back in our study of Matthew. But today, we're going to look at this one verse, because it is our theme verse for the new year of 2025. You know that every year we like to have a theme, and we take it from a verse of Scripture that will help us to just sort of stay on the same page in all that we do in learning and growing and serving throughout this year of 2025, that this theme and this verse will be interwoven in all of our ministries and the things that we do. It's a verse that you will hear come up often. It's a way to sort of be of the same mindset and the same vision for this year. And our verse for this year is found in Ephesians 2:10. Perhaps it's a verse that you are acquainted with. Maybe some of you memorized Ephesians 2:8-9. But this is the verse that immediately follows. And here is what it says: "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." Our theme verse for the new year of 2025. You know, did I tell you recently that I was in Hawaii? Did I mention that? You're all like, oh, he's going to keep talking about that, isn't he? Well, there's something that we got to experience this time. We've been there a few times, again, as our kids live there, and something that we got to experience that we never had before. And that was this. So the island of Maui in particular, of course, Hawaii, created by, you know, different volcanoes, and there's volcanoes on every island, but Maui is known for being, right in the middle, is what's called a shield volcano. It's called a shield volcano because the original inhabitants kind of thought that this volcano looked like a shield, like a warrior's shield. If you laid it down, it's kind of got this long sort of slope. It's not like the regular kind of volcano we might think of, but it's sort of just this gradual sloping mountain, but it is actually a volcano. And of course, the temperatures change drastically when you get that high up at the top of a mountain. And so it's no different on the top of what's called Mount Haleakala, and that is the name of this shield volcano. And so sitting on the beach one day, It was 85, and there was this beautiful breeze in the afternoon. And we looked up, and the night before, it had rained. And we noticed that at the top of the mountain, it had snowed. Now, maybe you have experienced some of this, maybe in different parts of the country or the world, but I had never experienced that before. Claudia hadn't either. But sitting on the beach, we could turn around and look at the top of this dormant volcano, this mountain, and see snow. See snow while you're sitting in the 85-degree sun. What a contrast, but just an amazing, just simple, but amazing experience. And it just reminded me of the different seasons, you know, and we love going to places like Hawaii, but I do think I would miss the seasons, you know. I would miss the different seasons and the change of seasons, but right there in that moment, we could see snow, but we could enjoy the sun and the warmth of the sand and the water. But it reminded me, too, that we enter into a new year, and it's not only a new year on the calendar, but it's a new season. And we went there to primarily to help our kids start to pack up and move from a place like Hawaii back to New Jersey, because their season in life is changing. Their season of serving with the Maui Rescue Mission is ending, but a new season is beginning. I mean, I think it's important as we begin a new year together to just stop and think for just a moment or two, based around this verse, which we'll get to in a moment. The fact that we live in seasons, don't we? And Scripture makes it clear that God, of course, created the seasons that we see around in nature, and yet we live through seasons in life, don't we? And we have certain friends for different seasons, and we might live in different places for different seasons in our lives. Maybe we have a job or a career for a certain amount of time, and then we retire or change jobs, and the season in our life changes. I was reflecting on this because we had talked quite a bit as a family while we're away together these last couple of weeks about the change in seasons in our lives. You know, as Claudia and I have become empty nesters, but now two of our kids are moving back with us. And my daughter's job ends in May, and she'll probably come back and live with us for the summer. My son's job has changed, but he's in Manhattan. He's not going anywhere. He loves it there. But we think about different seasons, so it seems like everybody in our immediate family is going through a change of season. And that can affect us in different ways. Some of us might get anxious about it, or perhaps enter into a time of depression as you move from one season to the next. But I think it's important to recognize that God moves us through different seasons. One reason is God is always on the move, but also because He has plans and purposes for us. And some of these seasons that He allows us to live through, some last years or decades, and some perhaps are just weeks or months, but yet we realize that God, the God who has no beginning and has no end, yet entered into time and space in Jesus Christ, He knows what it's like. And He moves in our lives through different seasons. As we enter into a new season together, church, what will it look like for Trinity in 2025. I hope there's much of the same from 2024. I hope that there's even more growth as we talk about growth from the inside out, as we embark on some new opportunities to learn together, some new Bible studies and opportunities to grow, and as we continue to use our discipleship pathway tool together. And this year we'll be focusing on our spiritual gifts and be using that as part of our discipleship pathway tool. But I would hope that this year sees more growth of our hearts and minds as we mature in the Lord. I hope and pray that this new season, this new year, brings more opportunities to go and to serve as our missions team leads us to do so. I pray that we have more opportunities to share the gospel of grace. Because, church, we all know And we look forward to the fact that Christ is coming back. He said that he would, and so we take him at his word. It could be today. We don't know when that is. But he said for us to be ready and to be waiting. But in the meantime, we know that we are to be on mission for him. And a big part of that is what we are reminded of in this verse. That's why it's so important for us, especially as we begin a new year together. We think, well, God, what is my purpose? Maybe you ask that often of yourselves. Maybe even beginning a new season and a new year, you say, God, what is my purpose? Is this job that I'm in, this situation in my life, my current health status, is this the way it is? Do you have something new for me? A new mission, a new journey, whatever that may be. Why do we ask these questions? Because we are his workmanship. Perhaps some of you have heard this before, but that word workmanship in the Greek, it has this beautiful connotation of masterpiece, work of art. Isn't that beautiful? So what Paul is saying here, the Apostle Paul writing this letter to the church in Ephesus, he's reminding believers, he's talking to believers in the Lord Jesus, and he's saying, remember that you are God's workmanship. You are his masterpiece. Because in the two verses prior to that, 8 and 9, he says, you have been saved by grace through faith and not of your works, so that no one can boast. So he's talking about that your salvation is all because of Christ and his graciousness and not of your works. See, but then he clarifies what works are good and what works are for. Well, if we can't earn our salvation, if we don't work for it, then where is the place of works in the life of a Christian? He says, you are a great work. He says, make no mistake, remember, we are his workmanship, or we are his masterpiece. Do you ever think of yourself as a work of art? Ever think of yourself, I take the silence as a no? Nobody wants to raise their hand, of course. As a masterpiece. See, I think that right there is worth just having this verse as our theme verse to be reminded. This is the kind of truth, church. Our identity now in Jesus Christ as believers in him and him alone. That we have this new identity. We often go to 2 Corinthians 5:17 that reminds us that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, right? The old is gone, the new has come. So yes, in Christ, we are a work of art. But it all starts with not only our creation and God creating us, knowing us before the foundations of the world, but in our salvation. See, because it's important we understand here that Paul is talking to us as believers individually, but also corporately as a community. We just had some that came up that wanted to become covenant members at Trinity. We talk about community, the importance of learning and growing and serving together. But see, Paul is also talking about the church as a whole, the body of Christ. Because his workmanship, his masterpiece, is salvation. But see, we are that vessel. We are the ones who receive that salvation offered to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. So we are his workmanship. Church, let us in this new season of life, individually, however God is working in your life, but together at Trinity as this local representation of the body of Christ, let us be reminded often that we are his workmanship. That God has taken time to craft us. Have you ever seen a potter begin to craft maybe a beautiful vase, something from that clay and the wheel going around and around, but then it's not shaping up just exactly as he wants it. So what does he do? He pushes it all back down into a lump of clay and begins again. Sometimes God has to do that with us. Did you ever experience that in your life? I did. There was a time right before I entered into full-time ministry that God used mental health struggle and other physical issues to get my attention. And of course, I didn't know it at the time, but it was as if God was molding me. He's the potter and I'm the clay. But because I was going my own way, I wasn't becoming what it is that he had envisioned, this work of art, this masterpiece. And so in many ways, he got my attention by bringing me back down so that he continued to build me up. But he can do that through us and in us during our lives and as we move from season to season. Ask yourselves, what is it that God wants to do in and through me in this new year as we embark on a new season of ministry together in 2025? We are his workmanship, his work of art, his masterpiece. See, remember, Paul had just got done saying, we don't earn our salvation. It's not by our works. No one can boast in that. We're saved by grace through faith. So then where is the place of works? And he starts off with saying, first of all, remember, you are a work of God. Church, you know that you are a miracle. You are a miracle. And most importantly, you are a miracle because of your salvation. But then he goes on to say, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You see that really important distinction. He's saying, no, we don't do good works to be saved. But he's saying, once you receive that free gift of salvation by believing, he says, now you are to live out your life in Christ, this new life that you have, this new identity, you are to live it out through your good works. Do you see that? How important this is, church, that we get this right. That our works are our response to our salvation. See that? It is from our new identity that we then learn and grow and serve our God. So he's saying, first, remember who you are in Christ. You are a masterpiece. You are created in Christ Jesus now as a believer for good works that God has created good works ahead of time for us to walk in. Look at what it says next. Which God prepared beforehand so that we could walk in them. We often talk about how God has plans and purposes for our lives. We also know we have great freedom, don't we? We praise God for that. He gives us a mind to make decisions. He gives us wisdom when we ask for it. He puts people in our lives that we can ask advice of and seek wise counsel. He gives us giftings and talents, and we put that all together, and we make decisions. But yet we know that our God is a God of order. Our God is a God who makes plans, but yet we always are to lay them down at his feet. Proverbs 16:9. In our hearts, we might plan our course in life, but the Lord sets the steps, see? But it's okay, and it's good to make that plan. But Paul is saying, we're his masterpiece, his workmanship. We are created now and saved in Christ to do these good works as a response to that salvation. We are to live out our faith. And God prepared beforehand this path for us, individually, but also as a church. And so as we engage in the scriptures of the New Testament, what we see unfold is this pathway for us. How is it that we are to live the life of a disciple of Christ? When Jesus said, come and follow me, I'll make you fishers of people. Or he says, if you want to follow me and be my disciples, you deny yourself, you take up your cross and follow me. He is saying, follow me. So we are to look to him and follow where he is going because God is always on the move. See, God has a plan and he's got a purpose for us individually, but also for us as his body, the universal church, but for us here at Trinity. Do you believe that? I do. We see God at work. We see the amazing things that he chose in his sovereignty to do in and through us in 2024. And we expect more. And we expect greater this year as we remember who we are in him. his masterpiece, his workmanship that he desires to use. My final point is this. We recognize that the foundation of our good works is God's grace. That's the whole context of this verse. That the purpose of our good works is to glorify God and to live out this calling. But this outworking of the good works is living according to the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said it was better for him to leave, that he might give us his Spirit, the Comforter, to lead us into all truth and to lead us into whatever it is that he has for us on his path for us as a church and individually this year. And so we are to rely on the Holy Spirit within us, church, to do these good works. Do you know that the moment that you are saved, you put your faith and trust in Christ, in him alone for your eternal salvation, that you are given a gift, at least one spiritual gift. These gifts are given to us to bless others. To bless others. To serve each other, and then we serve our community and the world around us. But we are reminded in this, if we are his workmanship, and these are works that he created ahead of time, these are his spiritual gifts that he gives us so that we can bear his fruit. Do you see that common denominator? It's his. It's not our spiritual gifts. It's not our fruit that we produce. It's not our good works. It's him working in and through us. But you know what's beautiful about that? Boy, that takes so much pressure off, doesn't it? All we have to do is make ourselves available. God asks that we trust him and be obedient children, and he will take care of the rest. But he calls us to be on mission for him, but not to do work for him, but to do the works he has set aside already for him. His work in us. Do you see that? It's not us working, doing this work for God in a sense. We might say it that way. We understand. But truly, it is God working in us. Church, I ask you this simple question, and then we move into our time of communion together. How will God use you in 2025? What are you willing to do for him? What are we willing to do for our God locally and around the world this year? Are we willing to be available for him, fully available for our God, so that he can work in us and work through us, whatever he calls us to do? He has created us, and in salvation we are a masterpiece for him to use for his glory. The potter gets to decide what becomes of that lump of clay. But as we think, as a great work of art, a masterpiece, have you ever been to a museum? You see this great masterpiece, this work of art that's been known and famous throughout history. Why has it become so? What was the intention of the artist? It has drawn your attention. It speaks to the heart of the painter. It influences people. It reflects the love and the mind and the heart of the artist. Church, this year, are we willing to be reflections of the love and the compassion and the mercy and justice of our great Creator? Of the Creator of the universe, who loved us so much that he would give us his Son, Jesus Christ. Are we willing to live for Jesus because he died for us? What will this year of 2025 look like for Trinity? Are we willing to live in and walk in this truth that we are a masterpiece and that he chooses to use us, that we are created in Christ Jesus for these good works, to bless others, to think of others before ourselves, and to walk the path that he has set already? Are we willing to seek him out, to seek his face, and to follow Jesus wherever he may lead us? Perhaps you will enter into a new season of your own life this year. Maybe you're walking through it right now. Let God be your guide. Let the Holy Spirit be the one who challenges you and convicts you and leads you. And don't do any of it on your own strength, but may we do it together through the strength and leading of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We say amen to that. You know, it is also a privilege not also to be reminded of our identity in Christ and who we are to him, how God sees us as his work of art, his masterpiece that he continues to shape and to mold. But we also realize that we can be forgetful. We can forget this truth, but we can also forget what it cost God for this to be true for us. It cost him his son. And so Jesus, on the night before he was betrayed, he gathered with his closest of friends and family, and he celebrated the last Passover meal that he would with them. And he gave them a new commandment to love one another, and he took some bread, and he took some wine. He blessed them, and he said that they now represented his body and his blood that he was about to give for them. They didn't quite understand it at that moment. But then Jesus said these words. He says, do this as often as you gather together in remembrance of me. Church, that's why we do this. We do this as a church family, this being meant for Christians, for believers in the Lord Jesus, as a way to remember. Jesus took very simple elements, bread and wine, and he said these represent his body and his blood that he would give for us. So we're going to do that now. So as you hear the music play, I would encourage you, take a moment or two, and there's no rush for this, but take a moment or two, just you and your God. First, I encourage you to say thank you to him for creating you as a masterpiece and thanking him for your new life in Christ. And then take a moment or two of reflection to think about this new year ahead, seasons that you've experienced that in the past and perhaps a new season that you're entering, and what it is that God may have for you and your willingness to be available for him. So take time, say thank you, but most importantly, thank him for Jesus, because it cost him everything that we may have eternal life. So spend time now, and when you are done, again, there's no rush with that, when you're done spending time with your God, I encourage you to, you can get up and either come to the front and take the elements, take the bread and the cup, or you can go to the back there. And when everybody has gotten back into their seats, I will lead us in closing in taking the bread and the cup together. on that night during that Passover meal, Jesus took bread and he gave thanks for that bread and he broke it and he passed it around to his loved ones and he said these words. He says, "This bread is my body, which is given for you. As often as we gather together, take and eat in remembrance of me." Let's take and eat together, church, in remembrance of Christ's sacrifice. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, and he said that this cup represented a new covenant in his blood. It represented the blood that he was about to shed. And he said that we are to take this bread and this cup as often as we get together to drink it in remembrance of him, because when we do take the bread and the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Until he comes, let us remember his blood shed for us. We praise God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Why don't we stand together and close our time by singing? We sing of this amazing grace and ask that question, how can it possibly be that our God would die for us? He did that. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Let us pray. Father, we sing these words and we know that they are true. Our chains fell off. Our souls have been freed. And now we want to follow you. God, as we leave from this place, may we be inspired by the truth of who we are in your eyes. Thank you that we are now clothed with that divine robe, that divine robe of righteousness. God, thank you that we can walk in confidence, that we can approach your throne in that boldness, all because of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, that we find our identity in him. And Lord, may we live in that new identity. May we walk out that calling as your workmanship in the pathway and in the good works that you have declared beforehand. Lord God, go before us through your Spirit. Lead the way. May we have the faith and the courage to follow you every step. And God, we say thank you and we ask for your blessing and boldness in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you for joining us this morning, church.
You're sovereign. Praise 'cause you're